Here's Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth.
You know, when you're young, there's some character defects, whether bitterness or selfishness or pride, that can be covered up or glossed over with youthful energy and good looks and natural ability or your natural personality. But as you get older and those physical outward things fade away, if those character defects have not been sanctified, they're going to become more pronounced and more visible.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, author of Adorned, for Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. You can find plenty of products on the market that promise to combat the aging process. Many women spend a lot of time, energy, and money trying to hold on to youth. But if you're not asking God to shape your character, you're not truly cultivating beauty. Today, Nancy will show us how to be growing in true beauty. And after this message, at the end of today's program, Nancy's husband, Robert, will tell us about a kind of unusual tradition they have at home. It involves sneezing. But first, let's listen to the series, God's Beautiful Design for Women, living out Titus 2, 1 through 5. Here's Nancy.
Not too long ago, I had a chance to travel to Precept Ministries in Chattanooga and interview Kay Arthur, who I know has had a significant ministry in many of your lives, as she has in mine. And I've known her for a lot of years, and it's just been an incredible thing to watch God's grace in her life. And it was such a joy to be with her now in this season of her life and to see how this woman who is 25 years older than I am, give or take, right in there, is so full of the Word, full of faith, full of spiritual vitality. And I say that not to lift her up. She wouldn't want me to do that. But to just say it's a blessing and a challenge to look at women who are further down the road than we are and to see how God is sustaining them by His grace and keeping them growing and flourishing and fruitful as they become older. This past week, I've been listening to a series of messages from a conference that was hosted by Desiring God Ministries. And the theme of the conference was endurance and standing over the long haul, firm and faithful in God's Word. And the speakers of this conference were all older. I think the youngest was probably maybe late 50s, and some of them were quite a bit older than that. As I watch these faithful saints, I'm just saying, it is possible. There are days when I just despair in a sense of whether I will make it to the finish line. Maybe despair is too strong a word, but there are days when I just think, I'm not going to make it, or am I going to make it? And when I see my own failings and my own lack of resolve at times and my own temptations and struggles, and then I look at these who I know have temptations and struggles themselves, but God has been faithful to them and He has kept them faithful. And listening to them is very challenging to me. I'm thinking more about what kind of person I want to be like when I'm in my 70s, if the Lord would give me, as I've asked Him to serve Him till 85. What kind of woman do I want to be in, and how do I want to age? And it's helpful to have people like this that you can look at and have some pattern, these powerful examples. But one thing I am sure of, and that is that it doesn't just happen. You don't just wake up at 80 and all of a sudden you're godly, or you're fruitful, or you're gracious, if you're not becoming that way when you're 20, 30, 40, 50. And I'm convinced that most people just drift through life. They're not intentional about the way we live. And I'm sad to say that many days of my life, that's the way I am. I have things to do and places to go and people to see and lessons to prepare and work to do and emails to answer. And sometimes I'm just not real intentional about my soul and the condition of my life and what kind of person I'm becoming. And the problem, if you live that way unintentionally, is that days become weeks and weeks become months and months become years and years become decades. And then you have a lifetime and poof, it's out as far as life on this earth is concerned. And I have also watched people who, over the course of those decades, believers who did not become more spiritually winsome, but became narrow and bitter and selfish and whiny and petty. And I think, what a waste. But then I'm so thankful that I have seen people who've become more mature, more godly, more gracious. And I say, Lord, by your grace, that's what I want to be moving toward. And if we're not intentional about setting our eyes on Christ and pressing on to become more like him, we're going to become like those people who become narrow and negative and petty if we're not intentional about pursuing Christ. Now, as we come to Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul says to Titus, Titus, as a leader of these churches, you are to teach what accords with sound doctrine. Now, here's what that looks like for people in different seasons of life. Now, verse 2, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Verse 3, older women likewise. And I'm going to stop there. That's as far as we're going to go today. You've been wishing we would get to verse 3, and we will. But first, I want us to not skip over verse 2, and you say, well, this is a women's ministry. You're a woman teaching women, which is as it should be. So why are you going to teach on verse 2 about older men? Well, verse 3 says, older women likewise, which suggests that older women are to have these same qualities that have just been talked about in verse 2 about older men. And so I don't want us to just skip over verse 2, but to look at those qualities. We'll go in greater detail into the qualities in verses 3, 4, and 5 that are specified for women. But the ones that are in verse 2 are important for us as well. And these qualities are not optional. This is not like a pick and choose, you know, cafeteria. Take the ones you like and skip the ones you don't. These things are to be true of all older believers. And these things are crucial, as we've seen in the previous sessions, if the church is to have a godly impact on an ungodly world. This is what makes our evangelistic efforts and impact effective and fruitful. Now, let me also say, before we look at the specific qualities, these are qualities that you don't develop overnight. They're qualities that are cultivated over a period of time. They take seasoning, they take life, they take experience, they take failing, they take growing, they take confession, it takes repentance, it takes intentionality, and there are no shortcuts. Don't you wish there were? Shortcut to spiritual maturity. You know, if I could write that book and it were true, it would be a huge bestseller because we'd all want it. But there is no such, there may be a book like that, but there is no truth in a book like that. There are no shortcuts. So life is the daily, the in and out, the one day at a time, the persevering, the enduring, the being faithful, the living out what you know, the falling down and getting back up again by God's grace and pressing on. That's what life is all about. So as you read these, if you like me feel, oh, there's so far and so long to go, don't let that discourage you. Let it motivate you and cause you to press on to spiritual maturity. Now, we have older and younger listeners here in the room today and listening on the radio and on the internet. And older listeners, let me just encourage you to evaluate your life, where you are right now, in light of these qualities, and to realize that this is the biblical standard to which you are called. This is what matters about your life. These are the things that must be true of your life if your life is to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then younger listeners, and we have young moms who listen, we have young, we have teenagers, we have single women, we have young married women, women who are in their 20s, 30s, just all those younger seasons of life. What you need to hear is that this is the goal. Don't tune it out and say, oh, this is for older women, this isn't for me. If you're not learning and seeking to develop these qualities in your life now, you're not going to have them when you're an older woman. These are qualities that every believer needs to be seeking to cultivate, and you need to be seeking to cultivate these now, whether you're 16 or 26 or 36 or 46, and then you decide when you're not younger anymore. So let's look at those qualities in verse 2. First of all, these older people are to be sober-minded. Sober-minded, or some of your translations will say temperate. That's a word that means sober. It means free from intoxication, not drunken. And it's talking about a way of life. It's a way of life that is temperate, moderate, and not self-indulgent. These people are sober in their judgment, and they're free from the intoxicating effects of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So there's a very literal application here. They should not be drunken people with alcohol, but also they should not be intoxicated with the world. They should be sober-minded or temperate. As you become an older believer, you should have learned how to distinguish between eternal godly pleasures and the temporal pleasures of sin, and to have the discipline and the maturity to say no to the temporal pleasures and to say yes to the eternal pleasures. A temperate person is not excessive, not extravagant, does not overindulge his appetites and his passions. This person is not characterized by drunkenness, gluttony, or other excesses. And he's temperate. He or she is temperate in their use of time, money, the tongue. This is an evidence of maturity, to know what really matters, to have priorities that are straight, and to be content to have what you need and not to have more. Those things all kind of fit into this concept of being temperate. Now, the second word used here in verse 2 is that older men and women are to be dignified. The English Standard Version translates it that way. Dignified. It's a word that the New International translates worthy of respect. That's a good translation of that word. It's to be honorable. In fact, Philippians 4:8 uses this word when it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, let your mind dwell on these things. These older people are to be honorable. They're to be reverent. They're to be serious-minded about life. They're to be respectable. This word is translated in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It talks about women, or some of your translations say deacons' wives, women must be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. So the person who's older knows enough about life to know that life is not all frivolity and it's not trivial, that there's a serious-mindedness about life that is appropriate. However, as one commentator wrote, and I think this is helpful, this word does not describe the demeanor of a person who is a gloomy killjoy, but the conduct of a man who knows that he lives in the light of eternity and that before very long he will leave the fallen race of men for the glorious presence of God. The dignified person, this commentary says, is never frivolous, trivial, or superficial. He does not laugh at immorality, vulgarity, or anything else that is sinful and ungodly. Nor does he laugh at that which is tragic or at the expense of others. It's a sense of what's appropriate. So you're dignified and respectable. And then the third word is self-controlled, or as the New American Standard translates it, sensible. We're going to take more time later in the series to expand on this whole concept, because this word is used multiple times in this chapter and in the book of Titus, so we'll give a lot more attention to it. But let me just give you a brief overview. The word self-controlled is the word sophron, S-O-P-H-R-O-N in the Greek. It comes from two words in the Greek. One means to save, and the other means the mind. This is to have a saved or a sound mind. This person acts like one whose mind has been saved. They're in their right mind spiritually. In fact, the last part of this word, sophron, P-H-R-E-N, is the modern Greek word for car brakes. This person knows how to stop, knows when to say no, knows how to curb his desires and impulses. It's a person who is self-restrained, under the control of the Holy Spirit. And he's developed the ability to govern and discipline himself or herself, to discipline his mind, her passions, affections, behavior. The person who is sophron, sound mind, saved mind, is able to resist the temptations and the pull of the world. And so this deals with all forms of self-control, and again, we'll get to more of that when we come to the younger women. Now, let me say this mature, disciplined mind and life is a result of walking with God for many years. Again, there are no shortcuts, but this is what we need to be moving toward. Now, then he says that these older men and women likewise are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, and then sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Sound, we've talked about that earlier in this series. It's the word that means healthy, wholesome, that which protects and preserves life. Now, as people get to be older, there are often health issues. And this older person that Paul is talking about may be unhealthy in his body, may be physically deteriorating with age, but this older man or woman is still sound in mind and in heart. Because there's a foundation of sound doctrine that has produced a life that is in accord with sound doctrine. What does it mean to be sound in faith? That word is really the faith, sound in the faith. That's the body of Christian doctrine. And this is a person who is grounded in their belief system. This man or woman holds firmly to the word of God and the truth of God's word. The woman who is sound in faith has a high degree of confidence in God and his word. She knows that God can be trusted. It's like Joshua, who in his 90s said in Joshua chapter 23, he said, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. I'm about to die. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed." Joshua was sound in the faith at the end of his life. And that's what we want to be. And it's not just an intellectual faith. It's a seasoned, proven, tested faith where you're so confident in God's word and God's truth and God's goodness that when hard circumstances come, you don't fall apart. You don't waver. You don't accuse God or doubt or question his goodness. You don't resist his will. You've got a track record with God over a lot of years, and you've seen that he has proved himself over and over again to be faithful. You know that he's in control. You know that his ways are right. You know that his grace is sufficient. And you know that he is going to fulfill all his holy, eternal purposes. That's to be sound in the faith. And then older people are to be sound or healthy in love. Agape love, God's love. They're to have an unconditional, sacrificial love to where they genuinely care about other people. And they love people with God's love. I saw this not too long ago when I attended Jerry Falwell's funeral. And I've seen it at other funerals as well, where people talk about the one who has gone, who's been an older saint. And to hear people say that what really impacted them about this person's life was how much they cared. Not all the things they accomplished, but how much they really love people. I mentioned Kay Arthur, and being around her during those days I was at Precept Ministries, I was just struck by how this older woman has grown in love for people, how she reaches out and shows genuine interest and concern for others versus being self-centered. The older person has learned to love with God's love, even when that love is undeserved, and to continue loving and giving and serving even when their love is rejected. This person is not bitter, but they are forgiving. And as we're getting older, we need to ask ourselves, and I ask myself from time to time, am I growing in love? Am I becoming more and more sound and healthy in love? And then older people are to be sound in steadfastness, sound in steadfastness. Some of your Bibles translate that perseverance. The word steadfastness or perseverance is the English translation of a compound Greek word that comes from two words that mean under and to abide. To abide under. It means remaining steadfast under trials and afflictions. Steadfastly bearing up under a heavy load. This is the older person who doesn't cave in under pressure and trials, but has cultivated the ability to endure even when circumstances are difficult. And I know that when I was 20, there were things that threw me into a tailspin that thankfully, by God's grace, are things that don't seem quite so major to me today. And things that, because I've grown some, by God's grace, I'm able to weather a little bit more easily. Well, there are other things today that still really kind of throw me into a tizzy. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, I want to become sound in perseverance, sound in steadfastness. I mentioned Helen Rosevere a few moments ago, and Her message to the women at this Desiring God National Conference was entitled, A Call for the Perseverance of the Saints. And she said in that message, she said she prefers the word perseverance to the word endurance. Because she says in England, which is where she's from, the word endurance, and I'm quoting her here, she said the word endurance has a sort of connotation of gritting your teeth, stiff upper lip, getting through somehow. But she said the word perseverance refers to steadily going on, refusing to give up, no matter what comes. And I think that's a good word picture, whichever of those words you prefer. But we're talking about not just surviving life, not just passively enduring, but facing life's circumstances triumphantly, allowing God to use them to mold us and to shape us, and bearing up in a way that brings glory to God. Two godly elderly believers recently have told me that they are right now in the midst of the most difficult circumstances they have ever faced in their whole life. And I've just been pondering that. And I'm reminded that as we age, there are new kinds of hardships that we will face. Disappointment, loneliness, physical weakness, physical limitations, loss of friends, loss of loved ones. But our goal should be, as we age, to demonstrate the ability that God gives us, as He works in us by His grace, the ability to endure hardship with grace, to accept God's dealings with us, to submit to His providences, and not to lose heart when things don't go as we had hoped, to develop that firmly established confidence that God is in control and that He is working all things according to His pleasure. One commentary I read on this passage said, old age strips the body of its glamour in order to emphasize the beauty of the soul. That's as it should be. You know, when you're young, there's some character defects, whether bitterness or selfishness or pride, that can be covered up or glossed over with youthful energy and good looks and natural ability or your natural personality. But as you get older and those physical outward things fade away, if those character defects have not been sanctified, they're going to become more pronounced and more visible. So I want to encourage you, whether you are older now or you're headed in that direction, to pursue the kind of beauty, the kind of heart, the kind of godliness that endures and that becomes more beautiful with age. Old age strips the body of its glamour in order to emphasize the beauty of the soul.
Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth will be right back to pray. You'll find shelves full of products that promise to combat the effects of aging, but Nancy's been providing something far better than a cream or a lotion. And Nancy, it's exciting to know so many women are learning how to develop true inward beauty because they're reading the brand new book, Adorned.
That's right, Leslie. It's been out exactly 1 week today. I've often compared writing books to giving birth, so I guess we're still in the newborn stage. And already I've been hearing from listeners who've been opening the mail, cracking open the gorgeous cover, smelling the new ink, and most importantly, they've begun exploring the rich truths of Titus 2 through these pages. I'd like to introduce you to this newborn book as well. So when you support Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any size, we'll send the brand new book, Adorned, to say how thankful we are for you. Without that kind of support, we wouldn't be able to stay on the air in this area. But with your support, we'll continue opening God's Word and showing women how to experience greater freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. Thank you so much.
To get your copy of Adorned, call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can make a donation of any size, and you can ask for the Adorned book. We'll send one book per household for your donation during this series. To close our time, we'll pray with Nancy. But first, her husband Robert is here because I heard you do something kind of different at your house when you sneeze.
That's actually true, Leslie. When Nancy sneezes, or when I sneeze, we don't say, God bless you. Now, there's really nothing wrong with that, and with people who say, God bless you, but there's a certain sense of reverence about using God's name, and so we just say, I love you. If Nancy's in a different part of the house, and I've got my cell phone with me, and she has hers, and she hears me sneeze, or I hear her sneeze, we text, I love you. In fact, sometimes I sneeze twice, and she says in her text message, I love you, squared. So it's a cool little tradition, something that we've started and probably will continue. It's a reminder of how much we love each other, and at the end of the day, how much God loves us.
Maybe that will be a new tradition for some of our listeners.
Sure.
Now let's pray with Nancy, wrapping up today's program on Titus 2 and true beauty.
Father, as I hear and read those words, I just say that's what I want, is to have you strip away anything that would be a hindrance to my spiritual growth and development. And as the physical body and senses do deteriorate, I pray, oh God, for a growing grace and graciousness and beauty to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in the faith, sound in love, and sound in steadfastness. We ageless women, may our lives become more and more beautiful and radiant with that true inner beauty of Christ's life within us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth believes in true inward beauty, and it's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.